Well, hey, what is up, Mission? Apparently my mom's in town, so that is great. Don't worry, I got all of the blue paint out from behind my ears after last night. Or hopefully I did at least. But man, it is so good to be together. And if we've never met before, my name is Taylor, and I get to lead our student ministries here at Mission. And today we're jumping into a brand new parenting series. And the truth is, you can tell a lot about somebody by looking at their family. And a couple of years ago, I got really interested in my family's like family line, family tree, and you know, did the whole ancestry.com thing and everything. And I found the diary of my great-great-great-grandfather, William Eppa Fielding, which, quite the looker, let me tell you. Got a lot to look forward to in my life. And man, reading through his diary actually helped me learn a lot about myself. And so check this out. This diary entry is dated Sunday, June 16th, 1861. It says, "I attended preaching this morning with the regiment. It was a very good sermon, so they say. I don't know because I sat with the sun in my face, which made me sleepy. So I laid down, closed my eyes, and did not wake until they were all leaving and the sermon was over." And so now I know, when I was falling asleep in church, it's not my fault. It's my great-great-great-grandfather's fault, all right? Check out this one. Sunday, July 7th, 1861. It says, "Many of us went to town to church, and I went to the Catholic church, saw some very fine pictures there, and behind me, a very fine girl. I was continually looking back, so I didn't hear much of the sermon, but the organ and the girls were mighty fine." Ladies, this is the guy you want to avoid here at Mission, all right? I'm just saying. And then this last one, Sunday, July 14th. It says, "Well, I told all goodbye. I kissed Nettie and took a mint julep with her folks, and then I left. I've done more kissing lately than since I was a baby, though so as far as the girls are concerned, I've got no special objection to it." I mean, great-great-grandpa had some game, all right? That's all I'm saying. But you know, reading through these, it really helped me understand myself better. I'm like, this is kind of me in high school, getting distracted by girls, falling asleep in church, which never happens now that I'm here at Mission. At least when Jody's teaching, it never happens. But it's not my fault, all right? It just runs in my genes, okay? Because it's because of my great-great-great-great-grandfather. And today we are starting a new series here at Mission called Parenting Traps and Maps, where we're gonna look at some of the traps that we can so easily fall into when it comes to parenting. And man, the truth is, when it comes to our relationships, some of the rules that we've learned from relationships, how we act and interact and even react in relationships, man, some of those things are things that we've caught from our families. Because how we function and even how we parent is really caught more than it is taught. And man, some of us, growing up, we had some great parents. And man, we caught so many great things about how to parent and how to be in relationships. But man, a lot of us, man, we didn't get so lucky. And we had some maybe not so great parents, and we picked up some not so great things from our families. You know, some of our houses, man, they were filled with fighting. Some of us growing up, we had parents that were stuck in their addiction. Man, some of us had absent dads. Some of us didn't even know our parents growing up. You know, maybe you're like my grandpa, and the only time he ever saw his dad was whenever he was 20 years old. He was at a funeral. Someone pointed across the casket to a man standing on the other side and said, "That right there, that's your father." And that's the only time he'd ever seen him. You know, maybe your dad walked out when you were young. You know, maybe your mom left. Maybe your parents were around, but man, they just weren't really involved. See, whether you had great parents, not so great parents, or absent parents, man, the truth is none of us had perfect parents, and we've all gotten stuck in some parenting traps, and man, it's just time that we get unstuck. And while this series is very clearly targeted to helping parents in their relationship with their kids, man, I just want to encourage all of us, like over these next couple weeks, man, to lean in. Because the rules for relationships that we have learned from our parents and families, man, the traps that we have gotten stuck in, those don't just affect our relationships with our kids. Man, we take those traps with us into any and every relationship. And man, while we're talking about parents and kids, there is so much freedom to be found when we can identify the trap that we're stuck in, and we can break it with God's help in God's way. You know, author Rich Velotta said one time that Jesus may live in your heart, but grandpa lives in your bones. And man, there are just some unhelpful things that we've learned that it's time we unlearn. And the truth is, like, we all play a role in investing in the next generation. So whether you're a mom, a dad, a teacher, a parent, an uncle, a grandpa, a grandma, a volunteer, a coach, a friend, a bonus mom, an extra dad, a mentor, if you have a kid or if you know a kid, man, this series is for all of us to lean in and learn how to love the next generation better. And so I just want to set a couple ground rules today as we get ready for this series and jump into our conversation today. And the first is this: that there are no perfect parents in this room. Like, anybody feel like they're just killing this parenting thing and doing it perfectly? Because if you are, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, all right? I'm just saying, you can head right out that door. Like, there are no perfect parents in this room and no perfect parents on this stage. And I mean, I have been doing student ministry for almost 10 years, and I do have a daughter who is 22, so I might be a bit of a parenting expert. I'm just kidding. My daughter is 22 months old. So you know we're noobs because we're still measuring in months, all right? Like, nobody on this stage, nobody teaching in this series is a parenting expert. Man, we are imperfect people going on this journey, learning alongside one another, and man, just trying our best with God's word in God's way to be the best parent we can be, flaws and all. So there are no perfect parents. And the second ground rule is this: there is no one-size-fits-all approach to parenting. Like, one size fits all is great whenever it's about sweatpants and bucket hats. But whenever it comes to parenting, it is way more complicated than that. And there are actually over 75,000 parenting books at your disposal, all telling you to parent in a different way. So you could read 10 books a day on parenting for the next 21 years of your kid's life. And with all of that advice bouncing around, and plus all the things online and on social media, man, knowing how to parent can just feel so overwhelming. And man, we can feel stuck. You know, I love in Proverbs 12, it says, "You can't find firm footing in a swamp, but life rooted in God stands firm." And man, the Oklahoma boy in me loves this verse. See, when it comes to parenting, one size fits all doesn't always work. And we can get stuck in a swamp of parenting advice that is out there. But in this series, we're going to look at God's word and God's way to see what wisdom can be found in parenting. You know, in the book of James, it says, if you need wisdom, ask God for it, and he will give it to you. And I love how the Message puts it. It says, if you don't know what you're doing — which, anybody else ever feel like you don't know what you're doing when it comes to parenting? Just me? Okay, that's fine. It says, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. And man, that wisdom, how it is applied to our lives, it can look so different from family to family to family. And the genius of God is not only that he gives us his word, but man, he gives us his spirit, and he gives us each other to help us live out and apply the wisdom that we can find in our lives and with our kids. And man, there are a lot of traps that we can get stuck in whenever it comes to parenting. You know, we can fall into the comparison trap, where we compare our kids to each other and to other people's kids. We can fall into the codependent trap, where I'm only okay if my kids are okay. We can fall into the friend trap, where we try to be friends, buddy buddies, ha ha ha, with our kids, instead of actually being their parent. Man, some of us, we fall in for the survival trap, where we're like, bro, I'm just trying to make it through the day, all right? Get them to high school, that's all I gotta do, and then whew, who knows from there. You know, there's the activity trap, the control trap, the worry trap, the isolation trap, the critical trap, the fun trap, the anger trap, the arguing trap, the withdrawal trap, the peace trap, the withholding affection trap, the manipulation trap, the image trap, the do as I say, not as I do trap, and on it goes. Anybody feeling trapped yet? But man, today I just wanna talk about two big traps that I think are so easy for all of us to fall into as parents. And then look at the parenting map that we find in Scripture to help us as we do this parenting thing. And so the first trap that we're going to look at today is the provider trap, which is the trap that says that your greatest contribution to your kids is what you provide for them. That the best thing you can give them is opportunities, a fully funded college fund, the best house, the best friends, tutors, mentors, a private education. That if you can get them on the best sports team, if you can get them in enough extracurricular activities, if you can get them the best trainers, the best coaches in the country, that if you can get them the latest Nikes, if you can throw them the best birthday parties, even when they're two, if you can take them on extravagant vacations to Puerto Rico, if you can let them study abroad in Spain, that if you can get them the nicest car, if you can make memories in Mexico, buy that second house to spend Christmases at, that what you can provide for your kids is the most important thing that you can do as a parent. And man, I'm not saying that all that stuff is bad, all right? Like, I like a new pair of Nikes. But man, when that stuff becomes the most important thing, man, that's when it becomes a trap. You know, some of us, we are so exhausted working long hours, 2 to 3 jobs, that when we finally get home, plop ourselves on the couch, man, we are so exhausted that we can't even actually be with our kids. You know, the Barna Group did a study on how much time kids need to spend talking to their parents every day to be in a thriving relationship. And can anybody guess how many minutes the study found that thriving parents and thriving kids needed to spend talking to each other? Any guesses? You know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour? The study found that thriving families and thriving kids spend 90 to 120 minutes of conversation each and every day. And you know, that same study found that the typical American family only spends 15 minutes talking to each other each day. 15 minutes. Did you know that the average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day? That the average American adult spends 5 hours on their phone? Boomers spend 5 hours on the dot. Millennials spend almost 6 hours on their phone. And even on vacations, 37% of working adults are logging on and checking in multiple times a day. And man, I get it. You know, for some of us, the phone and work do not stop. And we don't leave our work at home or in the office anymore. Man, we take it everywhere that our phone is. And so we might be with our kids, but man, we're really still back in the office. We might be around, but man, we can't turn our work brain off. And man, let me be clear, work is not a bad thing, but it is so easy to let our work get between us and our kids. You know, in Mark 10, there's a story about Jesus who is right in the middle of a busy season at work. You know, he has people to heal, lives to save, broken legs to fix, you know, blind eyes to open, demons to cast out, and I'm sure that his water to wine business was just booming, all right? He had important work to do. The opportunities are just overflowing, and so one day, he is hanging out whenever a bunch of kids start showing up and coming around him. And his 12 disciples, you know, his labor, his best friends, they start getting annoyed because these kids keep slowing Jesus down. And they're like, come on, Jesus, we got stuff to do, all right? Send these kids away. We got to go do the thing, all right? So come on, what are we doing here? And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. And man, so many times, you know, I hate to admit it, but I let my work, my busy schedule, my phone, my emails, my work brain that I can't turn off get between me and my kids. You know, C.S. Lewis said one time that children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. And man, what I am learning is that the best thing that we can provide for our kids, the best thing I can provide for my daughter and soon to be daughters, is my presence. See, our kids need us more than what they can get from us. Our kids need us more than what we can give them. I mean, isn't that what God gave us? Like, his ultimate provision was his presence. He had given manna in the wilderness. He had led the people by a fire and a cloud. He had given them the tabernacle. He had given them the law. But it all came to fruition in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 1, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And man, that statement is a game changer for our faith. It's a game changer for our life because the power of presence is a game changer. You know, maybe you recognize the men in this picture. This is Rick Hoyt and his father, Richard. And whenever Rick was first born, doctors shared a grim prognosis for him, that the brain damage that he sustained at birth was so severe that he would never be able to participate in mainstream society. You know, he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy and told that he would be a vegetable his entire life. But Richard, his father, decided that he would not let this be his son's story. And so starting in 1977, this father-son duo competed in over 1,000 races together. 1,091 race events to be exact, including 252 triathlons, 6 of which were Ironman distance, where he would be pulling his son in a boat or pushing him in a cart. They ran 70 marathons, 94 half marathons, and 155 5K races. They actually ran the Boston Marathon 36 times and even had a statue erected at the starting line of the race. And you know, every time they would finish a race together, Rick would lean forward and he would burst through that finish line because he was so excited to be doing it with his dad. And Rick actually died a couple weeks ago. And man, together, this father and son team, man, they left behind an incredible legacy that impacted millions of people around the world. And man, the legacy that they left is not only a powerful example of perseverance, but man, it's a powerful example of the power of presence. Because presence changes things. You know, in his book, Revolutionary Parenting, George Barna says that your impact on your children's lives is directly proportional to the depth of relationship that you have fostered with them. And man, you can't have a relationship without presence. See, new shoes are nice, but man, styles fade, shoes fade, but your presence is felt forever. You know, working hard to save up for your child's college fund, sure, it might set them up for some future success. But man, your active presence in their life is an invaluable investment in their future. You know, going on nice vacations and taking extravagant trips, yeah, it will create some memories. But your presence in their everyday life will create marking moments that last forever. You know, helping your kid get on the best sports teams, paying for them to work out with the best trainers, doing whatever you have to do to help them become the best athlete possible, it maybe will give them an opportunity, help them have some fun years down the road. But man, having a relationship with your kid that is so much deeper than their extracurricular activities, having a relationship that is built on something so much stronger than just what they do, but in who they are, knowing and investing in them on a deep level, man, that takes time. That takes unhurried presence. I mean, that is what our kids desperately need. And so I'm not saying that everybody in here should quit our jobs, all right? But man, maybe it's time that we let God speak to us about this. You know, maybe it's time that we start asking ourselves the question, how can we be more present this week? You know, maybe it's putting our phone on do not disturb when we get home, turning off our notifications on the weekend. You know, maybe we need to just throw our phone in the door or drawer and lock it away. You know, maybe we need to mark out slots on our calendar that just say home, and then when something else pops up, we're already busy. We're already booked. You know, it could be starting a new weekly tradition. I don't know what it is, but man, I know that it's time we all start being a little bit more intentional. Starting this week, being more present, because man, that's what our kids need most, is time with us. Man, so the first trap is the provider trap. But the next trap is the perfect trap. And this is the trap that says you have to do this parent thing perfectly. Like you have to get it right in order for your kids to be all right. And man, I get it. I have fallen for this one. I mean, when I was a kid, I had to take an online course to get my fishing license in Oklahoma. But when we left the hospital almost 2 years ago with our daughter, a living, breathing human baby, like they just let us drive away. Like they didn't check the car seat. They didn't like ask me my name, get my license registration. There was no test, no online course, no owner's manual, not even a pat on the back. Like I just drove home as slow as I possibly could. We got there, looked at each other and we're like, well, now what do we do? I don't know. What do you think we should do? I don't really know. And so man, we found ourselves trying to get everything right. We bought blackout curtains. We got sound machines. We stood over our daughter Henley as she napped, just trying to see, is her chest moving up and down? Okay, I think it is. We got cameras. We did everything we could. I mean, the first night when we were in the hospital, it was my turn to be hanging with Henley while she was trying to sleep. And she wouldn't really quiet down or anything. And so I didn't know what to do. I'm like, maybe my dad instincts will kick in. And I was like, oh, we have a pacifier in the diaper bag. So I grabbed the pacifier from the diaper bag, plop it in her mouth. Within like 5 minutes, she is passed out asleep. I'm like, dude, killing this dad thing. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. A couple minutes later, the nurse walks in, sees me sitting there, is like, did you put that in her mouth? Don't you ever put that in her mouth. It's going to confuse her. You should not use a pacifier. Pull that out right now. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I thought I was nailing it. Apparently, I'm failing it. And then a couple weeks later, the doctor was like, actually, pacifiers are fine. You can totally use that. And I was like, dude, I don't know, right? This is just too much. But I got to get it perfect, man. Come on. And I bet I'm not the only one that has been trying to do this parent thing perfectly. Man, if you have ever felt like you have to have all the answers, if you've ever felt like you have to read every blog post, follow every social media account to find out the best ways to get your kids sleeping, the 10 tricks to eating with full stomach so that way they'll be the best person possible. If you feel like you have to make your kids make all the right choices, have the right friends. Man, if you feel like you have a hard time admitting you're wrong to your kids, man, you might have fallen for the perfect trap. If you ever say, do as I say, not as I do. If you ever say, here, just let me do it. If you think that you can't make a mistake, man, you might have fallen for the perfect trap. If you constantly compete and compare with other parents on social media, and man, if you feel frozen with fear and your parenting journey is filled with anxiety, you may have fallen for the perfect trap. You know, I love what Donald Miller says in his book, Scary Close. He says, I'm noticing a common characteristic of healthy families. Kids with parents who are honest about their shortcomings just seem to do better in life. And what I mean is parents who aren't trying to be perfect or pretend that they're perfect have kids who trust and respect them more. It's as though vulnerability and openness act as the soil that fosters security. And I'd say that's the quality I most often sense in the children of honest, open parents. I sense security. See, our kids don't need us to be perfect. But man, they do need us to be humble. To admit when we're wrong. To say we're sorry. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, wrote one time, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. In Proverbs, it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And you might be like, I don't have a pride problem. I've got a perfection problem. But I'm just saying, pride and perfection are like kissing cousins, all right? They both have their roots in the fear family. You know, I heard a story of a church that used to let an AA meeting meet in the basement of their building. The pastor used to pray, God, would you let what happens in the sanctuary happen in the basement? Well, after sitting in on one of those meetings, the pastor started praying, God, would you let what's happening in the basement happen in the sanctuary? Because man, the honesty, the vulnerability, the no hiding, the realness, the rawness of what was going on in that basement, man, it was changing lives. And man, our kids do not need us to be picture-perfect parents, but they need us to be authentically and humbly following after God in a real way. They need to see us make mistakes and own our mistakes. They need to see us mess up and apologize for our mess ups. They need us to be real and humble. You know, one of the most famous parenting passages in the entire Bible comes from Deuteronomy 6. And the first part goes like this. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And you'd be like, what does it have to do with parenting? That's all about me. Good question. This is actually a famous passage called the Shema. And here Moses is addressing the new generation of Israel as they prepare to enter the promised land. And he is urging them not to repeat the patterns, the mistakes of their parents' generation, to not get stuck in the same trap. And he's saying, man, the best way for you to break free from the trap is for you to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you want your kids to experience the life that God wants for them, man, it starts with you. And it starts with me. You know, it goes on and it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And he's just saying that if you live an authentic life where you humbly follow God and you follow after him, man, where you love him with everything you've got, man, that's just gonna spill over on your kids. Like if you love God with all your heart, then man, the way that you love your kids will be different. If you love him with all your soul, man, it will change what you talk about at the dinner table. If you love God with all your strength, it will change the way that you use your words. It will change the way that you use your strength. It will change the temperature of your household and it will make a difference and your kids will never be the same. Man, our kids don't need us to be perfect. They just need us to be humble. To admit that we don't have it figured out, to say we're sorry, to apologize when we mess up, to authentically and humbly follow God. Man, to do the inner work of being healthy, to go to recovery meetings, to jump into counseling, to show up time and time again, to do our best, follow God, and leave the rest to him. You know, Ruth Graham Bell was the wife of evangelist Billy Graham, and who through his crusades, he preached to more than 215 million people. But man, I love what it says on Ruth Bell Graham's tombstone. It says these words. It says, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. And man, those are the words of someone who knew they didn't have to get it perfect. Those are the words of someone who lived a humble life, who knew that even when they didn't get it right, man, that they could make it right by apologizing, by making amends, by humbly following God. Man, you know, parenting for me has been one of the biggest reminders that I really am not in control, which is hard for a perfectionist like me. You know, my wife Daly is actually pregnant with our second daughter, and she is 32 weeks pregnant as of yesterday. So pray for me, all right? There is about to be a lot of estrogen in our house. But man, as we've been getting ready for baby number two, we've had some different complications this time around that we just weren't really ready for. You know, we've kind of had to go see some different doctors and have been labeled a high-risk pregnancy at different times. And we had to do some different high-risk ultrasounds. And the first ultrasound that we went to that was labeled high-risk, man, I'll never forget how nervous I was walking in. You know, we didn't really know what was going on. And so we were shuffled into this back room and our ultrasound tech walked in and I was kind of doing my nervous small talk thing and she was not having any of it, all right? And so I'm just sitting there bouncing my legs back and forth, just not knowing what to do, just feeling so helpless. As I'm like, man, there is nothing I can do right now to protect my unborn child. Like, there is nothing I can do right now to make this any easier for my wife. And so I'm sitting there and I pull out my phone to Psalm 139, which is one of my favorite Psalms, and just start reading. And it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And when I got about halfway through this verse, the ultrasound popped up on the screen and we saw our daughter for the very first time. And I read, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And how precious about me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And man, as I was reading this verse, I almost came to tears. Because man, I was reminded in that moment, man, that God cares way more about my kids than I ever could. That I may not be in control, but man, the God who knit my kids together in the womb is. That I may not be the perfect dad, but they have a heavenly father who is their perfect heavenly father. That I won't be able to provide all that my kids need, but they have a God who can. I might not always be the most present, but they have a God who has promised to never leave or forsake them. And he has promised to never leave or forsake me either. See, God did not make a mistake when he chose you to be the parent to your kid. He has chosen you to be the dad to your son, the mom to your daughter, the foster dad to your kids. He has chosen you to be the bonus dad, the stepmom, the uncle, the aunt, the grandma, the grandpa for such a time as this. And one of the most important things that you will ever give your life to is sleeping two doors down from you. But man, you don't have to do it alone. Because God's word, his way, his wisdom, man, his maps, they can help us navigate any parenting trap that we find ourselves in. Let's pray together. Man, God, we just thank you. God, we thank you that you really are our perfect heavenly father. That God, you know what we need. And you lean in, God, when we feel like we are so overwhelmed. Man, God, I know for so many of us, we just feel like we're trying to make it through the day on this parenting journey. Man, God, so many of us, we are so hurt, so frustrated. God, we just feel so insecure. Man, God, maybe we're walking through one of the hardest seasons that we ever have with our kids. And we just don't know where to turn. And so, God, I pray that you would just remind us today that we don't have to do this parenting thing alone. That God, you are with us as we walk on this journey. And God, I know so many of us, man, this is maybe the first time we've been to church in a long time. And so God, would you help us to know that we have a perfect heavenly father, no matter what our family looked like. We have a perfect heavenly father who is for us, not against us. We have a perfect heavenly father who wants to give us good things because he loves us. And so God, would you just help us today to trust you? God, to know that you are with us as we walk on this journey of investing in our kids and investing in the next generation. And man, God, we thank you so much for Jesus and how we can have a relationship with you through him. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You know, in this series, we wanted to do something every week where we kind of give a charge and some encouragement to different groups of people as we navigate this investing in the next generation, as we navigate this in parenting thing together. But this week is kind of an all skate. So if you are a volunteer with kids or students, would you please stand up for me? If you help out with kids or students, whether it's here at Mission or out in the community, would you stand? If you are a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a coach of some kids, would you please stand? If you have a kid in your family, if you are a teacher, a coach, a mentor, if you work with students, or if you are around kids, if you're a counselor, a big brother, a big sister, would you stand? And man, if you just care about the next generation at all, would you go ahead and stand? Hopefully you're all standing, right? You know, parenting really does take a village. And man, I just want you to look around if you're a parent in the room. Like, you are part of a very important tribe. And man, the time that you give matters. The way that you love matters. Your sacrifice matters for all of us. Your investment in the next generation, whether it's your kids or the kids of other people, man, it matters. God has chosen you, called you, picked you, and he is equipping you for such a time as this. And man, it may feel like you are drowning in a sea of diapers. It may feel like you are overwhelmed by everything your student is facing, but you are making a difference. You are shaping their future. So man, keep showing up. Keep sending a text. Keep checking in. Keep being at soccer games and dance recitals. Keep showing up even when they move away and make their own families. Keep showing up in the breakups and the breakdowns. There may be days when it doesn't feel worth it, or that you aren't making a difference, or that you can't even get through. But know that God sees you. He is with you. He is for you. And the kids and students in your life, they need you more than you know. And so together, let's continue to be a place that invests in the next generation. Let's be a safe haven for worn out parents, for single moms, for burnt out dads, and burnt out kids. Let's continue to invest. Let's champion the next generation together. Let's speak life in Jesus' name into the next generation. And let's make sure that this next generation knows that there is a God who loves them, who is for them, who came to give them a hope and a future, and that through Jesus, there really is hope for everyone, including them. See, parenting... Man, parenting might be the hardest thing that we ever do. But thank God we don't have to do it alone. And so if you are feeling trapped today, man, know that we are with you. God is with you. And as we sing out this last song, let's be reminded that there is power in the name of Jesus. So let's all stay standing as we sing.